tens of thousands or tens of millions of people will read or watch this,
right,
then
yeah,
it, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
has a little bit more at stake.
Yeah. Okay, well, another question for you is, why didn't you go to the right?
I really needed to go to the dentist.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when the bottom dropped out of the art market in 2015.
Uh-huh. But ostensibly, some of these people who turn to the right have to go to the dentist too, right? Or maybe they don't.
Very
maybe they don't.
Few
okay.
Of them.
Yeah.
Very few
well,
of
there
them.
You go. Yeah.
Because the window that we got into the art world.
Yeah.
Everyone else who didn't, like, you know, my specific peer group, we're probably talking about tens of people mm-hmm. in post-internet art who made a living through commercial galleries.
Yeah.
That's not a large group. Like, it feels big, but it's actually just like tens or maybe several hundred people if you get the whole thing together. I mean, people have compiled history books.
Yeah.
It's a small group. Yeah. And so the people who kind of survived entered around that period, they just had money. They were playing with house money already.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when 2015 hit and then like you had this kind of rising social democratic movement, Brad and I were just really fucking broke.
Yeah.
And in, you know, arts education doesn't qualify you to get a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we just needed this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I always give this example, but I broke my toe and I couldn't go to the doctor. It's like, I just needed to go to the doctor. That's
right.
Why
yeah.
I wanted
yeah,
those
yeah.
policies.
Yeah, I know.
And
I
then,
mean, literally same here. You know, yeah. It's like, I wish I were ruling class, but I'm not and I won't be. And as unlikely as social democracy in the U.S. is, it's probably more likely than me becoming ruling class. So
right.
That's what we've got.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you told me first about the 2013... What is it? The rise and fall of the professional managerial class.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The Ehrenreichs. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Where basically the argument is that like make common cause with the working class because
uh-huh. That's your best bet.
You are not going to get that promotion
no,
to be one of the
no.
new elites. Or
yeah.
Somebody will get it, but there's not enough of those jobs to go around. So your
yeah.
best bet for your own selfish material interest yeah. is common cause with the working class.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that there are mixed opinions on Barbara and John Ehrenreich, on that piece in particular, which I still love. Have you ever talked to Catherine about it? She's like kind of lukewarm.
We did a little bit today.
Oh,
yeah,
you did?
Yeah.
Okay,
she
so
says
I'll watch
that
the
class is, the PMC is actually on the rise, growing in power. I'm inclined to agree with that. I've also heard Amber describe it as, although the individuals among the class have been precariatized,
mm-hmm.
that their influence, their social power has grown.
Yeah.
So they're materially immiserated, but they have more social influence.
Yeah, I think that's true. I love the Ehrenreich's essay. I also think that they were a little too optimistic because you may recall at the end of that essay, they're like, and we think that the PM, the, you know, and of course they wrote that right during the kind of Occupy groundswell and right after the recession. And so they were like, kind of in the midst of this 99%
mm-hmm.
rhetoric. And so at the end of the essay, they're like, we really think that the, you know, PMC is going to make common cause with the working class. And Barbara Ehrenreich, I believe, lived through the Bernie campaigns. And so, you know, I think there was reason to be optimistic, but now I think I'm more on the Amber and Catherine side, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of Bernie and that period, that kind of like rift that opens up around 2016.
Yeah.
What made it, and this is probably, I imagine, your experience as well, but coming from a background of the, you know, culture, humanities, art, all this kind of stuff, the language that you learn is like very much critical theory, Marxism,
oh, yeah.
like all
totally.
This type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the debates that were happening, I mean, literally Facebook threads, like there's a few, there's a few common threads on Facebook that I was like, oh, wow, like this person is a class enemy. Like this.
Right. Yeah.
And this
fucking
lady, this painter, like still comments on my shit. It's been like 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Like, give it up. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And she makes an unbelievable amount of money through these fucking galleries. So.
Mm.
But what people argued at that time was actually like, no, we don't want that. Like, we like liberal democracy. That's the thing that we want to have intact. Like, we don't want socialism. We don't want universal policies. Like, they just explicitly said those things. And so I became like really, really aware that the people who were benefiting from this system wanted it to remain intact
mm-hmm.
at like any cost. And essentially at that time, the cost was me. Like,
I
I needed to go to the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's like every day that I walked to work and my foot hurt, I would think about how much, I won't say your name, but like wanted the system to maintain intact. I was like, okay. So they're just kind of like out with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the pretense.
In a way, though,
isn't it
kind of refreshing, though, that some people, like I remember I had a similar experience where I was talking to a coworker who was, you know, kind of my age. And she was like, I don't like Bernie Sanders because I like Wall Street. And I was like, oh, fair enough.
You know, like, what?
I was like, okay, like, what are you going to say, you know?
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
I mean it's kind of a similar thing. Yeah.
I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because isn't the more frustrating thing the people who were like, well, I don't want Bernie because, like, he's not anti-racist enough.
Right. Yeah, there's I should have brought this up for the public episode, but now that we are thoroughly behind the paywall and I've lost my job and my future of ever getting hired again.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
In these wretched institutions. there was a very influential podcast many years ago called The Kill Stream.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, let's be very clear. This is a white nationalist podcast.
Okay.
These people have reprehensible, awful beliefs. Part of one of the main propagators, amplifiers of Gamergate. We're going way back here. They also had a very famous, I mean, famous in the context of the internet, a fundraiser for St. Jude's Hospital that had Richard Spencer on the stream. I think this is back in 2015.
Uh-huh.
It was at that time, quantitatively, the largest watch stream in the history of YouTube.
Really? Oh,
really, really sizable impact. And so people kind of lose scope of, like, what we're talking about with, like, the rise of far-right ideas and social media, like, this podcast basically is the example.
Yeah.
It is deplatformed now for years and years, extremely hard to find. I believe it still exists.
Yeah.
I don't really keep tabs on these things now in the way that I used to when I was doing the research. But one thing that really stuck out to me is that I was listening to their review of the Democratic primaries in 2020.
Okay.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But this guy, who basically has, like, the worst political education of anyone you could ever meet.
Yeah.
He said that all of these candidates, so talking on the topic of, like, race and gender, he said all of these candidates have gone so far to the radical left that Bernie is the last person on stage who sounds reasonable.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Like,
right.
What is happening here? Just the level of, like, misconceptions that you need to have about the polarity of left and right. Versus what, this gets even fucking crazier, what policies sounded reasonable to people from totally opposite worldviews.
Totally.
He then went on to say that, the American healthcare system is so corrupt, we're going to need some type of national health service in the next few years.
Yeah.
And I was, like, losing my mind.
Yeah.
Dude, this is, like, that's it. Like, that is the group of people that you need to be able to win over.
Yes,
like, here's the
yes.
most heightened example mm-hmm. of this thing.
Exactly.
And
but what he meant was that the other candidates, I mean, he probably said left wing, but what he meant was they were using this, like, elite activist academic jargon, right?
That's exactly. Yeah. That's what he means.
Yeah. And Bernie just talks like a normal person. Or, I mean, he talks like Bernie, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you could imagine that their audience is, like, entirely just downwardly mobile, previously middle-class, working-class white people who they can't organize in their workplace. Like, this is their kind of vent for political rage.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean,
Bernie's
it fucking
so great.
For
just
them.
The fact that he couldn't use that activist academic language even if he tried. I mean, I don't know if you caught this, but back, you know, a few years ago when the whole, like, maybe this didn't make it to your world, but in, like, the progressive policy world, there was a period of time right after the racial reckoning or during the racial reckoning where everybody decided that we should no longer say equality. Instead, we should say equity.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Unhoused,
not homeless.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
Like, you're speaking magical spells into the world.
Exactly.
Okay,
and the rationale behind equity was, again, it kind of goes back to this means testing thing that, you know, well, equality. In fact, Kamala Harris made a video about it during the 2020 campaign. You know, she in the video, she says, well, equality means that everybody gets the same thing, but everybody's not starting from the same place.
So
what we actually need is equity. And so this was all the rage in kind of progressive circles for a while. And it was the most annoying fucking thing because, A, what's wrong with equality? Like, come on. Again, it's like, why are you throwing this, like, incredible tradition out the window for this new phrase, which, like, sounds a little bit like a financial term. And, you know, it, like, doesn't mean anything substantively better than equity, than equality.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess some activist went to Bernie and was like, do you support equality or equity? Like, I don't remember the context in which this question was asked, but, you know, like, people spring questions like that on him all the time.
Mm.
And he's so, you know, I don't want to say out of touch because he's not out of touch, but he's so out of step with that, like, think tank policy, you know, like Democratic elite NGO world that he had no idea what they were talking about. And he was like, I like equality, you know,
oh,
and
no.
It was great. Yeah.
Oh, no.
The wrong answer. But of course he likes equality.
There's some kind of Americans just really like, I think, small business owner politics. Uh-huh. And so the idea of like phrasing everything as a financial analogy maybe is convenient for people, or at least convenient for the people who work in think tanks and these like elite positions. But it's like calling someone unhoused doesn't materialize a house over them. You know, it's like,
I don't even understand how it's an improvement. Like, you know, okay, I guess I could see like, don't say bum, you know, say homeless. I mean, because bum implies like a moral judgment, you know, and it's kind of insulting. Whereas homeless, you know, is just describes kind of the situation that they're in. But what is the improvement from homeless to unhoused?
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the game is to kind of like change the language that you're supposed to use at a certain point, because it's to be a social vanguard, right? It's not
definitely
to actually move materials in the world.
Exactly.
So if you can keep changing it and that someone else is out of date, then you can kind of ascend in the social hierarchy.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Joshua Citarella. What you just heard is an excerpt from this week's bonus episode. If you want to hear more and get access to the full catalog for Doomscroll and other podcasts, you can support the show on Patreon or Substack, where I'm putting out new episodes every week. This is an independent show. I don't do any advertising, so your support is really what keeps this project going. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.